Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This hour is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, which has two locations, with one in Dedham next to Legacy Place and another in Salem, New Hampshire. Online at NortheastMen'sHealth.com.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
First pitch, line drive, left field. This is trouble. It's going to get two runs home. It hits off the scoreboard. Boxed around by Benny. Here's the throw to second base, and too late. But in any event, a two-run hit.
Recapping the Red Sox loss against the Orioles.
Swing and a miss. Strike three. Got him on a sinking fastball, and this one is over. The Orioles hand the Red Sox their first defeat of the young season. Both clubs now 1-1. The final, Baltimore 7, Boston 2.
Dial 617-779-7937. Red Sox Review with Brian Barrett. Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, I'm with you until 8 o'clock. So my biggest issues with the game today, clearly, is Andrew Benintendi should not be hitting leadoff. The numbers tell you he was not a good leadoff hitter a season ago. I don't know why, considering the fact that Ron Redicke was with that club last year, that they still have Andrew Benintendi in the leadoff spot. Verdugo's a candidate for me who can hit leadoff when he's in the game, in my mind. And it seems like that guy's just excited to be on a baseball field. I'd like Verdugo to be in the leadoff spot. Andrew Benintendi is much more comfortable hitting in a lower position in the order. Hit him fifth, hit him sixth, whatever it is, but he should not be hitting leadoff. He is uncomfortable hitting in the leadoff spot. He has never been a good leadoff hitter. That was one of the biggest mistakes Alex Cora made last year. I don't know why Ron Renicke is making the same mistake this year. It just, to me, it makes no sense whatsoever. The fact that they brought in Dylan Covey in the seventh inning in a 5-2 game when you're still in it after you just put up two runs in the bottom of the sixth, that's an issue for me. Rafael Devers right now, his defense is an issue for me. Where we're talking about, you've only played two games, and in both those games, you've had an issue with Devers defensively. Now, yesterday, they end up getting out of the inning, but he throws a wild ball basically over Chavis's head that he has to jump up and catch. Now, unfortunately, Ron Reinicke didn't challenge it, but you do get out of the inning either way, but it's a sloppy play. And then today in the first inning, sloppy again in terms of what Devers was doing defensively. Those are my biggest issues right now. And with Martin Perez, I'll give him another start. Okay, first two innings were horrible. He's got to locate his pitches better. No disputing that whatsoever. Not going to put up a fight against that. At least he settled down in those three innings after that. But the manager's decision to go with Covey in the seventh irritated me. Benintendi hitting a leadoff spot, I have been saying this before the season started. It makes no sense. I don't understand it. A guy's not good hitting there. Why is he hitting there? Ask yourself this question. Would Belichick hit him leadoff? No, he wouldn't, because he realizes he can't hit leadoff. It makes no sense. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Kevin. He's in North Attleboro. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, what's going on, Brian? How are you?
Good.
Hey, listen, yeah, I mean, I just a couple of points here. You know, I've been listening to you for the last half hour or so. I agree. I think Benintendi in the leadoff spot is a force, has been since last year. Cora, you know, obviously trying something, but to me, I mean, call me old-fashioned. I'm not that old, but a leadoff guy is somebody who's going to, you know, set the table and steal some bags for you, get you in a position to start scoring runs. And Benintendi just doesn't click in my mind as that kind of person. I don't really see him as a bag stealer.
And Kevin, most importantly, somebody that's hitting in the leadoff spot needs to get on base, and when he hits leadoff, he doesn't get on base.
Sure, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think maybe with the way he's hitting the ball, maybe a guy like Peraza, you know, fits good there for right now. Maybe Pilar, who knows? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with your Verdugo, you know, pick, but it just can't be Benintendi. That just doesn't work. It's not the right piece of the puzzle. Perez, I mean, rough start. You know, realistically, he's a 4 or 5 starter in any other rotation in the league.
Right.
I agree. He didn't spot well today. He didn't really have great stuff. He's not a guy who can hang stuff over the middle of the plate and expect to have success, especially against, you know, like you said earlier, possibly one of the worst lineups in baseball right now. It's something like that. Just they can't look at that going into a series against the Yankees and be excited about Martin Perez taking the ball in game two.
Oh, you know, God.
Whether they've lost a game or won a game.
Kevin, can you imagine what he's going to look? Oh man, can you imagine what he's going to look like against the Yankees? Oh, jeez.
Yeah, bad. Oh. You know, but I mean, the other thing I look at too, as a fan, and I mean, maybe I'm wrong in this, but like, where is the accountability on Eduardo Rodriguez? Like, yeah, I understand he got COVID, understandable. But I mean, was he not taking the right protocols, knowing that he, you know, we were going to have a baseball season? I mean, he was your best pitcher last year.
Well, Kevin, I don't know how he got it. A couple of other guys on the team have it as well. I don't know if you can think he had a relative that had it or something along those lines. So I don't know how much blame you can put on the player for that. And the complications, you certainly can't blame the player for.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. But I mean,
Kevin, I don't think it's a situation where, I mean, we don't know exactly how he got it, but I don't think there's a situation where he was like out in a nightclub or on a beach or something. Like, we don't know.
Right, sure. Sure, I got you. And like I said, I mean, maybe not the right place to, you know, maybe not right to put that blame on him for sure. But, you know, you definitely miss him where he, like I said, he was easily one of your best pitchers, if not your best pitcher last year in that rotation.
Oh, sure. And that's the most important point. I appreciate the phone call, Kevin. His line's open at 617-779-7937 if you want to grab it. That's the most important point. I don't blame E-Rod that he got COVID-19. You can't avoid that sometimes. Now, if we're in a situation where athletes are just going out and they're not listening to what the NFL or the NBA, like guys going out of the bubble or whatever, or something happens in the NHL in these hub cities, like I understand then you can blame people for putting themselves in bad positions. If you're partying on a beach, you're putting yourself in a bad position. But I don't know any of that happened with Eduardo Rodriguez, so I'm not going to be upset with the player that he got COVID. The unfortunate part is the effect this has on the team, right? Because E-Rod tweets out, what, a week ago Saturday, I'm back, and essentially I'm ready to go. And then he goes in, he has a bullpen session, and he's not feeling good. And this same thing happened with Darwinson Hernandez and Josh Taylor, where both those guys who are coming back from COVID, now their situations are different than E-Rod's, of course, but those guys are coming back from COVID-19 as well, and they go out there and they pitch a bullpen. They throw 20 pitches, and they're gassed. 20 pitches, and they're gassed because they're coming back from COVID-19. You look at Eduardo Rodriguez, he has the same scenario happen where he's gassed, and then our own Rob Bradford at WEI.com has the reporting where essentially it's an issue with his heart after, and this can happen after you have a virus. So now you have to monitor that long term in terms of when can we bring him back. So he's going to be reevaluated. It would be next Thursday, because a week from when they made the announcement and they say, hey, no long term concerns or anything along those lines. But remember, this is not a long term season. We're talking about a sprint, a 60-game season, and they're going to do everything to make sure that they're awfully cautious about the player, especially when you're dealing with now heart complications as it pertains to COVID-19. You've got to protect the player from himself. So it's unfortunate because this is the year in my mind where what E-Rod had to do this year, and we'll see how many starts he can make. He was going to make at most 12. And now what's the most you think you're getting out of E-Rod? Maybe 8 at most, right? We don't know if he's going to play at all this season. I mean, this could be a complication that goes on for a little bit, and I'm optimistic that he's going to get out there at some point this season, but we really have no idea. None of us have any idea whatsoever when he's actually going to be able to go out there. So if they say, hey, it looks like everything's better with the heart, and then he doesn't have the endurance to throw a bullpen, well, then you got to work him up to be able to be ready for the season. Remember, he missed basically all of summer camp in this tune-up to the season because he was dealing with COVID-19. And he had a bad case of it to the point where he said he felt like he was 100 years old. So it's just a major blow to the Red Sox. And E-Rod was a guy in my mind where last year, I don't want to say I'd given up on the player, but I had thought to myself, he's just never going to be a front end of the rotation guy. I just don't see it with E-Rod in terms of the front end of the rotation. And then in the second half of the season, we have to acknowledge he was the best pitcher on the team for the Red Sox in the second half of the season. There's no real disputing that. Chris Sale was dealing with injuries. He was shut down. And then David Price, same thing. He was dealing with injuries. We all know Nathan Eovaldi was not good a season ago. Erod stepped up. He looked good in the second half of the season. It was the first time he threw over 200 innings in his career. And I was really looking forward to seeing Erod build on that. He was going to get the opportunity to be the opening day starter. He was supposed to be the ace of the staff. And I wanted to see if he could take on that responsibility. Now, I'm not saying that he's ever going to be Jacob deGrom or Max Scherzer, but at least he could be a solid guy at the top of your rotation for years to come. And unfortunately for the Red Sox, this was the two most important players on the team, I should say, two of them. It's Eovaldi and Erod, because those are the two guys that coming into the season, you're saying, okay, we can realistically say we're expecting these guys to give us 5 to 7 innings every time they go out on the mound and give us quality games. Because Erod last year, in the second half of the season, started going deeper into ball games. With Nathan Eovaldi, there was a huge question mark before the season, but in terms of what he did last night, it was great. Where he went out there and he had control, and people say, well, he didn't strike out a lot of guys, only 4 strikeouts. He never been a high strikeout guy. He strikes out about 7 guys per 9 innings. He never been a high strikeout guy. That's never been who he is. So it doesn't matter as long as he's getting the ball where it's soft contact. He was getting a lot of balls hit into the ground. So in my mind, that was a great performance from Nathan Eovaldi. But those were the two guys coming into the season. Like, just imagine it worked out this way. Erod starts last night, you win, and then you get this performance that Eovaldi had on opening night today. You'd feel a lot better about your Red Sox right now, because at least you'd feel like, all right, you got two guys in the rotation that you can depend on, and now you're in a situation where you don't know when the hell you're going to get Erod back, which is just the unfortunate part of this whole particular situation, is you don't know when that guy's going to be back. And right now, I don't know any Red Sox fan that can depend on Erod, right? How can you depend on him when you don't know when he's going to come back? I believe if he's on the field, you can depend on him. But we don't know when he's going to be ready. Even if he gets better from this situation, when is he actually going to be tuned up and ready to go? That's the other issue. All right, 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you up until 8 o'clock. All right, so the most startling or the most inexplicable decision of the early season for the Red Sox was Ron Renicki decided in the 7th inning in a 5-2 baseball game where the Red Sox just, and I know that momentum doesn't exist in baseball, say, but the Red Sox felt good. They got back into the game 5-2 in that 6th inning after the Moreland home run, and then Plawecki brought in Verdugo on that play where, if you looked at it, basically it was a situation where Alberto couldn't get the ball out of his glove there at second base, so everybody's safe. You make it 5-2, then Bogart strikes out, but nonetheless, it's 5-2. You feel like you're back in the game, and they put Dylan Covey on the mound, who had a 792 or 798 ERA a season ago. Ron Renicki talked a little further in his postgame about why Covey was the guy there.
We thought that was a great spot to use him. We talked about in the game where we could get him in and how we could basically break him in and get him a couple innings. And if it was a tight ball game, we didn't think that was fair to him. So we thought that was a really good spot to put him in.
Oh, boy. All right, so if it was a tight ball game, we didn't want to put him in there. Well, wouldn't you say that 5-2, and I get it's not 5-4 or 5-3 or 6-5, but wouldn't you say 5-2 in the 7th inning is at least somewhat tight? See, at that point in the game, when the Red Sox cut it to 5-2, I don't know about you, but I felt like they were going to win the game. I really truly believed that at that point in the game, the Red Sox are going to win. I felt like the Red Sox were going to win that game after they cut it to 5-2. Because of the fact that the Orioles bullpen isn't good and the Red Sox have a really good lineup. I felt like that was the case. So, again, this is a situation where the manager felt like we needed to get him work, so they put him into a game where, in my mind, he should have never been in there. I don't really even blame the player. I don't blame Dylan Covey for this. Dylan Covey's never been like a good pitcher in his major league career. I don't blame the player. You're putting him in a position to fail. You put him into the game where it's over, where it's 15-5, where it's 10-2, and put him into the game last night. That's what I can't understand. If you were going to get him action, you felt like it was necessary, because obviously the Red Sox this season, they're going to need guys that have to eat up innings. Bottom line, they're going to need that because of the fact that, really, you look at the rotation, you have Eovaldi, you had Perez today who went 5 innings, and you're going to have Ryan Weber tomorrow. After that, you're going to have to put this thing together. Hodgepodge, that's what you're going to have to do. A whole lot of bullpen games. You're going to be hearing a whole lot about openers, right? That's what we're going to be hearing about. So you're going to need guys like that. But you don't use a seventh inning in a 5-2 baseball game to experiment and see if this guy can give you length. You have to win all these games against the Orioles. They won 54 games last year, and you lost to them. And part of the reason you lost to them is because instead of keeping the pressure on the Orioles in terms of their bullpen, you took the pressure off the Orioles. Think about how much easier they made life for the Orioles bullpen tonight. When you cut it to 5-2, you put pressure on the crappy Orioles bullpen. But what did you do? Instead of deciding, you know, let's go with Matt Barnes. I don't know, one of our best relievers. Let's keep it at 5-2. Hey, would that be a crazy idea? Let's keep it at 5-2. Oh, and guess what? The next inning, the top of the order is coming up. Don't you think it's a little bit more difficult for the Orioles bullpen to manipulate and maneuver through the top of the Red Sox order, considering the fact they're only up 5-2 and they're not up 7-2? When you're up 7-2, you got a lot of room there. You got a lot of wiggle room. 5-2, you get a guy on base. Okay, here you go. Especially with the new rules where a guy's going to pitch to three batters. And we all know Ron Rudicky has said that that's why he designed the order where J.D. Martinez is hitting second. You design the order that way. So when you look at it, you set yourself up for an inning where you're going to have a lot of pressure on the Orioles relievers. And in this particular case, that pressure was taking off the Orioles relievers because Dylan Covey gave it up in the seventh inning, where he gave up a pair of runs to make it a 7-2 baseball game. And that's the issue I have, is I understand that you need to find guys that'll go deep and go long into games, but you can't put that in front of winning the game today. And that's what, in my mind, Ron Rennecke did.
Basically break him in and get him a couple innings.
Yeah, I mean, it's super important to the season to get Dylan Covey in there to break him in and get a few innings. What is going on? It felt like after last night where everybody was super psyched up for the game and that fourth inning where the Red Sox put up, what, 8 runs? I mean, they just felt like they were not letting off the gas. And then to see this today where it was almost like, all right, let's see what we do. Let's see what Martin Perez can do. And I understand why Perez is starting, but let's see what we can do. Let's get Covey some opportunities today. Let's see what Covey can do. Let's get him out there. Let's see if we can win a baseball game with Covey out there. I don't like it. I can't stand it, especially considering the fact that, you know how bad it's going to look for this organization if they don't make it into the postseason? Where what, 8 of the 15 teams of the American League are going to make it in? You don't make it into the postseason. You got to be bad. You have to be really, really bad if you don't make it into the postseason. And I start to think about it from this perspective as well. This Red Sox team last year was basically top 5 in most statistical categories. If you look at it top to bottom, in terms of average and runs, they were incredible offense a season ago, right? The Red Sox were one of the better offenses in all of Major League Baseball. So if you look at runs last year, the Red Sox actually finished 4th in runs. And the other teams in the top 8 in terms of runs scored last year, they all made it into the postseason, and the Red Sox didn't. So all those other teams that were in the top 8 in runs scored last year, they all made it into the postseason except the Red Sox. The Red Sox were 3rd in average. They were 5th in OPS. They were 3rd in on-base percentage. And last year, the pitching staff let them down. And it just feels like we're in a similar situation again where the pitching staff is going to let you down. So when you have opportunities to win games, the manager can't be the one that takes you out of position to try to win. And again, I'm not guaranteeing they win the game, but the manager made your chance at winning a baseball game today more difficult. And clearly, the Red Sox couldn't recover from that. So it feels like to me right now, it's almost as if this is a team where you see it in football all the time where, hey, they have a really good defense, but they have no offense, right? It's like you think about some of these college teams over the years that they have these high-flying offenses, right? We think about with the Big 12 all the time. Like Baylor had it for a bunch of years, and it's like, well, they're not going to beat anybody when they get to a big bowl game because they can't play any defense. Like, that's an issue. Remember the Saints after Drew Brees won his Super Bowl? They paid Drew Brees all this money. They didn't have money for other players. And the Saints were like, weren't going to the playoffs for like 4 years in a row, 5 years in a row. They're putting up crazy numbers. Drew Brees is breaking records, but they couldn't stop anybody. They were winning games at times 45-41, but they were also losing games 41-34. And that's what I feel this Red Sox team is. They are so damn good on one side. Now, tonight they weren't. But in terms of the names in the lineup, they're really good on one side. And on the other side, it's just atrocious. It's horrible. You cannot be top 4 in runs scored and not make it into the postseason a year ago. And it seems like that situation could present itself again. And when you have such an issue with pitching, you can't add to the problem with the manager making dumb decisions like Ron Renicki did to put a guy in with a 7.98 ERA last year when he was with the White Sox. You can't add to a problem you already have. And that's what Ron Renicki did today. 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you up until 8 o'clock here on Red Sox Review. I do want to get to some comments that Tom Warner made yesterday regarding the Mookie Betts trade, who's now in Los Angeles. We'll get to that in just a little bit, and we'll get you a trending in just a second.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Here.
You guys are smart. You know that, first of all, I'm happy that, he's always going to be a part of our team, and he's a World Series champion, and I'm delighted. He's a great guy. I'm delighted he made that deal. We, as you all know, did try on a number of occasions to make a deal with Mookie. It was his desire to test free agency. Our last deal, I think everybody knows the number. It was a large number. And, you know, the one thing that I've stressed, is I don't think has been stressed enough, is that year in and year out, we are one of the highest payrolls in baseball. We're going to deploy that money in other ways. We've made some great decisions over the years. We've made some decisions that I regret. But, I think that given our choices and given the fact that Mookie wanted to test free agency, I think we got an outstanding player for hopefully longer than 6 years, but 6 years in Alex Verdugo. And given our options in March, we made a sober decision. But, you know, when people are partying in Los Angeles, I just want to remind Los Angeles, because, you know, I come from Los Angeles and I spend the winters there, that in the last 20 years, Los Angeles has won 0 World Series and the Red Sox have won 4. So I've got nothing to be complaining about regarding our past. And we think that we made the right decision at the time.
All right, so that was Tom Warner earlier in the week on OMF talking about the Mookie Betts new deal that, of course, he signed with the Los Angeles Dodgers this week. Almost $400 million, $392 million. The extension is $365 million. So a couple of things to this. So first of all, he pointed to the fact that the Red Sox made a bunch of offers to Mookie, and the last offer was well documented. Remember, they offered him about 10 years, $310 million or so, after he won the MVP in 18 and the Red Sox won the World Series. But then he also said that when people are partying in Los Angeles, I just want to remind Los Angeles that in the last 20 years, Los Angeles has won 0 World Series and the Red Sox have won 4.
I think everybody knows the number.
Yeah, and he also said that you guys know as well as I do that the history of long-term deals is checkered at best. We made what we thought was a generous offer, but for us, it's time to turn the page. So he essentially says that the long-term contracts in Major League Baseball don't work out well. And he's right about that. He is 100% right about that. Most of those long-term contracts, they don't work out well. How's the Albert Pujols deal working out for the Los Angeles Angels? So he is right when he says that. But here's the thing that I don't understand. He's also referencing the fact that you guys offered, or they, the Red Sox, offered him a long-term contract extension. All right, so yours was 10 years, and theirs ended up being 13 years, 12 plus the year he has right now. So you were willing to offer the player a long-term extension. Now, I agree with moving on from Mookie Betts. I've said that from day one. I thought that is what the Red Sox should do. But for Tom Warner to say essentially that, yeah, well, these long-term contracts, they don't work out well. You just said that you guys offered him a long-term contract. So which one is it? Either long-term contract is or it isn't going to work out. So now that you didn't sign Mookie Betts to a long-term contract, you're essentially saying, well, these long-term contracts don't work out. I don't really like the dig at the Dodgers either. Like, I guess that is meant to take a shot at the Dodgers, but also fire up the fan base. Does anybody think that? Did you get fired up when he said that? Oh, yeah, now Mookie's going to be in L.A. They haven't won anything. I don't think that way at all. Quite frankly, I think the Dodgers are a well-run organization, and I believe they should already have a World Series in the Andrew Friedman era, considering the fact that we all know the Houston Astros cheated their way to a World Series. So I believe the Astros should have already won, or the Astros, the Dodgers should have already won a World Series by now. So I thought that was an unnecessary shot for Tom Warner to take at the Dodgers organization. So yeah, okay, they haven't won a World Series yet. Yeah, but they've also won the division like 7 years in a row. They're one of the favorites to win again. I felt like that was an unnecessary shot for him to take at the Dodgers organization. See, I just thought you should have taken the high road on this one. Yeah, well, we enjoyed the time that Mookie spent with the organization. We made him a generous offer. He decided that he did not want that offer. And now we're moving on. There's not much else to say. I don't like taking a shot, first of all, at the Dodgers organization because they haven't won a World Series recently. And I also don't like the fact that you're making it out to be like, hey, we would never sign one of these long-term contracts. That doesn't sit well with me. That doesn't sit well with me, considering the fact that the Red Sox were actually contemplating giving Mookie Betts a 10-year deal worth over $300 million. And hey, how about this? If Dave Dombrowski was still here, as the Red Sox general manager, he would have been trying to convince them to meet Mookie's demands, meaning meet the $400 million, the $420 million that Mookie Betts wanted, the 12-year deal that Mookie Betts wanted. Dave Dombrowski would have been trying to convince ownership to give Mookie Betts that deal. So, yeah, it's easy to say now that Mookie's not here. Oh, yeah, these long-term contracts never work out. And I'm with the Red Sox on the decision, ultimately. But they sound bitter. Tom Warner sounds bitter about this. I believe they made the right decision. I don't believe that Mookie Betts is going to age well. I really don't. He's 27 right now. And at the end of this contract, he's going to be 39. I believe at best you get like 5 good years out of it. And not high-level MVP caliber baseball like we've seen from Mookie Betts in the past. I don't believe he's going to be this outstanding guy into his late 30s because of the fact his game's based on raw athleticism. He's 5'10", 180. His power is based on his quick hands and his athletic ability. It's not like JD Martinez is a big guy. He can hit it to all fields. We've seen it. We've seen what JD can do. The ball he hit to right field last night, it's out of 26 out of 30 parks in Major League Baseball. Mookie Betts doesn't have power the opposite way. Mookie Betts' game is totally different than JD Martinez's guy. It's the Frank Thomases of the world, the David Ortizes of the world that age well. David Ortiz at 40 years old was hitting north of 300 and OPS over 1,000. It's those type of guys with raw power like we see with a guy like JD Martinez who's in a Red Sox uniform. And I want the Red Sox to keep JD. I get he can opt out after this season. There's certain guys that you can't replace. JD Martinez is a guy that you cannot replace. I want JD Martinez here long term with the Red Sox. That guy is such a great hitter, and it rubs off within the clubhouse. Heck, he made Mookie a better hitter. Mookie's admitted as such that JD Martinez made everybody better. His presence in the lineup makes everybody better. So JD's going to age well because he's a bigger guy. He's a hitting savant. He has raw power. Mookie doesn't have raw power. His power is based on his athleticism. I believe he's going to be similar to like Andrew McCutchen, where McCutchen's actually a little bit bigger, 5'11", about a buck 95, and Andrew McCutchen is somebody that in my mind was really good. He was an MVP, and at 28 he was good again, But then after 28, 29, the numbers went down. Never been the same player since. Mookie's 27 right now. I don't believe that contract looks really good in a couple of years. So I believe the Red Sox made the right decision, but I don't understand why Tom Warner is making it out to be like, hey, we would have never signed him in a long-term contract. Well, you offered him 10 years. And then secondly, to throw it in the Dodgers' face like you've never won a World Series, like that just seems like that should be beneath you.
In the last 20 years, Los Angeles has won zero World Series.
Yeah, I hate that. Look, you made a trade with the team, right? Like, you made a trade with the, you guys were trading partners. Now you're taking digs at them? Come on. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Scott in Shrewsbury. What's up, Scott?
Hi there. So, yeah, I think you're making a little bit much ado about nothing here, basically since you agree with them in total. But I'd say
no,
that...
No, Scott, I don't agree with what he said. I agree with the logic behind long-term contracts. I wouldn't give them out, but I don't agree with taking a shot at the Dodgers and saying that long-term contracts are bad when the Red Sox were going to give him a 10-year deal.
So, yeah, all right. And so on that point, there is, in my mind, a huge difference between 10 years and 13 years. With 10 years, you can say, hey, this guy's a great player. We'll do the 10 years because we have to, and maybe he'll be good for 8.5 to 9, and we'll eat one. Well, the same, but I'm not going to eat 8.5 and 9 and eat 4 years or 3.5 years. That's a huge difference. So you can offer a transcendental player like 10 years and feel good about it. Hey, that was our strategy. They went too far. These guys, I don't understand their logic how they could go that far. I think that's a fair defense for them to say that. They know that people out there are questioning, hey, the Sox didn't get Mookie. Why didn't they sign that? So they're going to want to say something back. There's nothing
so
wrong
hold on,
with
Scott.
So,
Scott.
You think a guy can make 9?
Scott, so the two years of the difference for the Red Sox than the Dodgers, that's what would have made it a good deal for the Red Sox and a bad deal for the Dodgers? I think it's a bad deal either way. But for the Red Sox to act like they had a good deal and the Dodgers deal is bad, I just don't feel like that's fair.
I'm not sure I can grapple with that. How can you say that? Let's say the Red Sox, and you're in their position. Let's say 10 years is tough. It's hard. But you figure I can get 9 out of them, and I'll only eat 1 year. But 12 years? 3 more years of 30 grand, that's $90 million more dollars? How can you not say that, well, $90 million, that's a bad deal. We don't want to do that deal. To me, that's a fair
so Scott, you think that Scott, you think the Red Sox actually believed that he was going to be a good player for 9 out of those 10 years?
I don't think they believed he was going to be a good player for 12 or 11 or 10 of them.
Well, yeah, obviously they didn't think he was going to be good for 12 of them. But the point is,
How old is Mookie Betts now?
He's 27.
So I think that to believe he might be good till 35 or 36, yeah, I think that's a fair assumption.
Yeah, I don't believe they thought that. I appreciate this call, Scott. I don't believe that the Red Sox can actually say that they thought that the big difference were the 2 years. I think they thought the big difference was the money. I don't think it was about the years for the Red Sox. I think it was about the money. They didn't want to go to north of $400 million. And I'm not saying the Red Sox are cheap. They spend money every year. The past 2 years, they've led Major League Baseball in terms of where they were at. I believe they made the wise decision not to give them over $400 million. But I don't believe it was about the years. I believe it was about the money for the Red Sox. They had a price, and they wanted to keep Mookie at that price, and they didn't want to go to his $400 or whatever it was. So I believe it was more about the price than it was the years. And quite frankly, my issue with that is, I don't think you can say, yeah, I bet he's going to be good for 9 of those 10 years, but oh, when you get to 12 instead of 10, that's the big difference in the contract. Okay, you're paying for the front end of it anyway. So you can't tell me that, oh, well, those 2 years at the end, that's the difference. Let's get to JP in North Providence. What's up, JP?
Bad news, Barrett. Nice to hear a local station with a show on a Saturday coming out of work instead of a rerun of a 2009 playoff game. So I agree with one of your points here. I'm glad we didn't sign him. You know what? Too many big contracts, too many bad money. You're halfway through it. Who knows? Maybe they undershot that 30-something million hoping he wouldn't take the offer. They can save face. As far as that shot across the bow with the Dodgers, I like it. Tom Warner with a little attitude. Let's get a little attitude in baseball, kind of like a little high and tight.
Yeah,
the only thing I'm mad about with the Mookie thing,
yeah.
Okay, he's gone. I'm glad. I'm with you. Give me a masher. JD banging the wall away. Mookie doesn't have Fenway's left field wall, by the way, out where he's going to be playing. But they got no starting pitcher back with no – I would have liked to have seen a better player. Now, we're going to make what they got back seem like it's gold. He's a six-year player. He's this and that. I wanted a pitcher for Mookie, but I think
JP,
we need some attitude.
JP, remember the original deal? They got Gratterall, but Gratterall had some health issues, so they backed out of that. Gratterall ended up going, what, to the Dodgers, because that was the three-way deal with the Twins. So they were looking at pitching, but I would much rather have the position player in Jeter Downs, the highly touted prospect, than Gratterall, who were already seen as a reliever anyway. So that's what you were going to get.
Oh, his arm was, his arm was going to blow out. So here's a question. Should last year Dombrowski try to move Mookie before it all got to the point where we got nothing for him?
Well,
that's the whole bigger picture.
Yeah, well, JP, here's the problem with that. If you're Dave Dombrowski, you know you're up against it, right? You got to keep your job. So if you're Dombrowski, you're trying to get into the playoffs. So really, that was a bad business position for the organization and Dombrowski to be in, right? Because Dombrowski knew he had to win to keep his job, so there's no way he was going to contemplate trading Mookie Betts, and the organization didn't know if they were going to keep Dombrowski, so for Dombrowski to keep his job, he had to keep winning, so he really couldn't make that decision.
So hindsight, if they had said, okay, Dombrowski, you got two more years, they may have made a better deal, because I think they got cold feet after the Sale deal and our pitching staff. We're paying a lot of money for guys that we don't even know if they can pitch two innings. I think they finally said, we just can't do it on this anymore. So I'm with you. I'm glad he's gone. You know what? We'll move on. We've moved on for other free agents. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, appreciate the call, JP. That's the thing is, when you start to look at what Dave Dombrowski did at the end of his tenure here, he just went crazy. I compare it, I liken it to Oprah. You get a car, you get a car, you get a car. That's what he did. You get a contract, you get a contract, you get a contract. Nathan Eovaldi, $68 million. Chris Sale, big contract, even though you weren't healthy. That's what he did. It's just like, whoever wants a contract, just show up and I'll give one to you. So he lost his mind at the end. But organizationally, you knew what Dave Dombrowski was going to do. He was going to come in here. He was going to gut your farm system. You were hoping he'd win your World Series. He did. He built the most dominant team in the history of the Red Sox organization, although a lot of the farm guys were already here, and he used them to go get other guys, right? The Chris Sale trade, etc. But when you needed to change direction and now start to kind of rebuild and try to stay somewhat relevant but rebuild at the same time, Dave Dombrowski was not fit for that position. All right, 617-779-7937 is the number. What did you make of the new Mookie Betts contract? Also, if you want to weigh in on the Tom Warner comments as it pertains to Mookie Betts, you can do that as well. 617-779-7937. Ryan Barrett with you up until 8 o'clock.
In the last 20 years, Los Angeles has won zero World Series.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Revisit the whole Mookie Betts contract, etc. I have always said that the Red Sox should not be giving Mookie Betts a long-term contract. I don't believe that the player is going to age well. I really don't. I compare him to Andrew McCutchen. That's the guy I look at. And I reference the fact that Andrew McCutchen was really good at 27 and 28. And then he tailed off. Then he completely tailed off. And he's never been the same player since. If you look at his 29-year-old season, he had just 256. Okay. And then after that, 279, but back down to 255, back down to 253, 256. So he lost some of his athleticism as he aged. He is 5'11", 195. Mookie Betts is 5'10", 180. Now, Mookie Betts was better, obviously, in his MVP season than McCutchen was in his MVP season, but it's very similar skill sets. And the thing that would scare me about Mookie Betts in terms of his longevity is he doesn't really hit the ball with power to all fields. So can you stay that athletic into your late 30s? I just don't see Mookie being the same player. I don't see him having those same prime seasons. I do think deep down there was a part of Mookie that was in a position that didn't want to be here, right? Because, and I give him credit, he's a businessman. There's no doubt about that. Think about it. You get offered a $100 million contract and you say no. Then you get $200 million and you say no. And then you get $300 million, $310 million. I give him credit because he said, hey, this contract is going to be out there for me. And he was right. He got the contract essentially close to what he wanted with the Dodgers. Now, originally he wanted 420, but he settled for about 392. That contract that he said was going to be out there was out there. But I don't believe Mookie Betts loves playing in the fishbowl of Boston. I don't think he wanted it for long term, right? Because once you get that contract here, we expect you to perform. Look at a guy like David Price, $217 million. He comes here and David Price doesn't perform, we're going after him, right? And he created more issues for himself with the whole Eckersley situation, et cetera, and the allergies. When was he going to be in the game? I'm not saying Mookie Betts brought anything on himself. He hadn't. But I'm sure Mookie Betts looks at David Price and he sees what happens to David Price when he doesn't perform. And there was part of Mookie Betts that said, you know what, I've already won a World Series. I may want to go somewhere out on the West Coast where it's a little easier. The Dodgers fans aren't the same as the Red Sox fans or the Yankees fans, right? These markets in terms of Boston and New York were hard on our players. In L.A., look, they thought Kobe was good at the end of his career. They thought Kobe was good in the final couple of years of his career when basically he was just hamstringing what they could do with their money. That's why, like, the Kobe contract, it's kind of like Tom Brady where Bill's like, no, I'm not giving Brady a lifetime achievement award to play here. I don't think he's going to be good in 2 years. Why would I give him that? With the Lakers, they're like, yeah, we'll give Kobe the contract. Whatever, we don't care. Like, that's the attitude out there. They don't really hold their GMs and head coaches and ownership groups. They don't hold them accountable. Yeah, we got Mookie Betts. Great. It's great if we win. Here, it's like, you better come and perform. So I believe Mookie's going to love playing in Los Angeles. Now, his numbers are not great through the first two games, but it's two games. 617-779-7937. The number, let's get to Paul. What's up, Paul?
Yeah, I have a little bit of a different take than Scott. I agree with you on the long-term contracts, but I think you're a little aggressive. I think what Juan has said is that they don't usually work out. I don't think he said we would never give a long-term contract. But
no,
I think,
he didn't say that. You know, but, like, Paul, my point is that they're willing to give him a long-term contract, and then another team's giving him a long-term contract, and then you're referencing the fact that long-term contracts aren't great. You know what I mean? It seems
right.
A little hypocritical.
They don't think they're great, and they don't like giving them. But it's part of the cost of doing business these days. So, I think the Red Sox take is, like Paul was saying, 8 or 9 years. I think it's more like 5 to 6 years out of a player, and then they're willing to eat 4 years. But the Red Sox maybe were willing to eat 3 or 4 years, but they weren't willing to eat 6 or 7.
Right.
I think it's a bigger spread than, you know, 1 or 2.
And Paul,
you know, I think the Red Sox
will
get a 13-year contract. Yeah, they might get, you know, 5 or 6 years out of them and then have to eat 5 years.
And, Paul, think about the situation the Dodgers are in, right? So the Red Sox had all these big contracts, these bloated contracts. They still have the Sale contract. They're still paying half of David Price's contract. Now, this year, they don't have to pay anything because he opted out, right? When you look at a team like the Dodgers, they really don't have any big contracts on their books outside of Kershaw, and even that is a short-term deal. So they set themselves up, to be able to absorb this type of contract that Mookie was asking for. And the other thing with the Dodgers is this. They are desperate. They've won the division 7 years in a row. They've been to 2 World Series, and they have nothing to show for it. So they're more willing, that ownership group is more willing to spend because they haven't been to where the Red Sox have been. So they're more desperate than the Red Sox right now.
Yep, I agree. I just think, you know, there's no way you get nine out of 10 years from a production from a player.
Oh, no chance. You Paul, know, I agree with your original sentiment. I believe they're going to get about 5 good years from the player and maybe 2 elite years. But I don't believe Mookie's going to age well based on his physique and how his game is played. It's the big guys that age well. It's the power. It's the Frank Thomases of the world, the David Ortiz. Those guys age well, not the small guy like Mookie Betts. And Mookie Betts, if his power goes away, he's not the same player anymore. If he's not giving you somewhere in the 30s in terms of home runs every year, he's not the same player. You don't pay a guy to hit, what, 15 to 20 home runs, that type of money. You're paying him to hit 35, 36 home runs. And if he's not doing that, he's not delivering on the contract.
Yeah, I agree.
Appreciate the call, Paul. His line's open if you want it at 617-779-7937. I don't have anything against Mookie Betts. I just believe that the Red Sox sort of dodged a bullet here. And I believe this happened too. Because remember, Mookie said, or the Red Sox put it out there, that essentially Mookie said that he didn't want to discuss a contract at the end of the season, right? When they brought in Chaim Bloom, he didn't want to discuss a contract. And then right when he gets to the Dodgers, he wants to discuss a contract. So it changed. So clearly there's something there. He wanted to be in LA. He didn't want to be here anymore. Bottom line. And I believe Chaim Bloom, when the Red Sox ownership group was like, hey, this is what we're thinking about giving Mookie, I bet Chaim Bloom was like, what? No. That's the organization. Now with Chaim Bloom, see, I believe what the Red Sox have to do is, because they've said it, we've spent money, and they do. They've led baseball and payroll the last two seasons. What they have to do this offseason is make sure they remind everybody of that. They need to go out and get one of these top-tier free agents. And you don't have to give them the super deal because they're not on the same level of Mookie Betts. At least that's the perception. Whether it's a guy like George Springer, who George Springer has had outstanding seasons with the Astros. He's hitting the open market. The Astros aren't paying him. They're paying Bregman. They're paying Altuve. They're going to pay Correa eventually. They're not paying him. They're not paying him. So he's going to be available this particular offseason. That'd be a great bat to add to this team. 617-779-7937, the number. But that's what he has to do. He has to prove we are going to continue to spend and land one of these big free agents. Let's get to Kelly and Amherst. What's up, Kelly?
What's up, dude? Yo, the guy a minute ago that said bad news, Barrett. I agree with him, man. But I don't agree with him on the bad news, Barrett part. That was a long time ago. That was back when the Red Sox were doing really good, but every day you would, like, talk about something that was bad, and it was really confusing. And I would always think that they lost the game. Like, I would turn on the radio, and I don't have the internet, and then I'd hear you say all this stuff. I'd be like, oh, man, they lost. And then you'd be like, oh, Red Sox win 6-3. And I'd be like, wait, why? Like, why are you so sad? You know?
But, you're talking about the 19 Red Sox, right?
I think that was the season where I got to know you intimately, yeah. For me, what I noticed about you is you're more like the quick draw on the trigger. Because when you get a guy, you got the mutt thing, where it's like if you get a caller that doesn't agree with you, you really don't like them as much. And so, like, you know, you hear a guy out, you hear one or two things, you go, yeah, well, thanks for the call. And then you'll tell him why he's wrong, and then you just move on to the next guy.
Well, Kelly, you know? I like the back and forth, but if you can't evolve the conversation, then, like, if you're just making the same point and you're not changing up, like, a additional point to it, there's no reason. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, we just disagreed where he thought the Red Sox thought, oh, well, 10 years is way better than 12, and I just didn't see it that way, and there was nothing else to the conversation. You know what I mean?
No, definitely. I think you gave that guy plenty of time. He was fine. I wasn't even thinking of that guy. I did notice, though, about that guy. I think that was Bobby Valentine. I recognized the voice, and it sounded a lot like him. So just, if you could replay that at some point, it might have actually been Bobby Valentine. Just throwing that out there. But my thought on the Mookie thing is this. I am sad to see Mookie go. Although, you know, I said the other day on a different show, I don't think anybody's worth a big contract like that. Mm-hmm. It is a little funny for the guy to say, oh, these big contracts never really work out. It's like you try to ask a girl out, and you'd be like, I don't want to go with a hot girl anyway. You know, like, it's too much stress, right? It's like you make up these excuses. But I love, this is what I agree with JP, I love the shots fired. And you're completely right. They were totally unnecessary shots. And that's what I love the most about him. Because, dude, final thought, L.A. sucks. You know, people, I don't even like New York, but everyone wears these, like, I love New York shirts. Nobody wears an I love L.A. shirt. It's the fakest city in the world. They got no metro. I mean, the subway, you know, forget L.A. So that's all I got.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Kelly. So he says he likes the shots because they were low blows. That's exactly what they were. Yeah, they were low blows. I felt they were unnecessary. I didn't like them. I didn't like the whole thing about, well, hey, we don't give out. See how this long-term contract works out. Talk to me in 12 years. Well, you were willing to go 10 years, so we'll talk to you in the 12th year. Like, you were willing to give him a contract. The Red Sox feel like, it's almost like they feel burnt by this. But in my mind, they made the right decision. It was the right idea to move on from the player. 617-779-7937, the number. What did you make of the Mookie contract this week? The comments from Tom Warner this week. Plus, we will get back into the game today, which was a complete debacle for the Red Sox. How much of that goes on Ron Renicki's decision that he made? We'll get back into that in a second here on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.